Hey, everybody, welcome to Season 3, Episode 0, bonus content. Yay!
Bonus!
Bonus content. There we are. Oh, I got one of those. Nice.
People are paying for the bonus content, right?
It's free. How about that?
Hey!
Look at that. No, bonus content, you know what it exists for, Duval? Because I'm glad you asked.
Why?
It's to help our new Thunder Buddies. If you're out there, you're listening to us, and you've been listening to us for 75 freaking weeks, first of all, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You're the reason why we do this. But second of all, if you want to invite someone to listen, and they're like, I don't want to listen to 75 back episodes, and they got that like FOMO thing going on, which happens with a lot of podcasts, especially story-driven ones like ours, you can give them Season 3, Episode 0 bonus content to get caught up, because that's what we're going to do right now.
Get caught up.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Duval.
I'm Scott Hoffman.
I'm Greg Santee.
I'm Brian Fantana.
Outstanding.
You're a brick.
Yes.
Actually, let's go around and introduce ourselves.
That's cheesy.
We're going to do it.
Is it Velveeta?
Here, I'll start.
Ooh, I love Velveeta. Okay.
I'm Scott Hoffman, and I'm the Game Master for the Dice of Thunder podcast. And if this is your first time listening to us, then welcome. This episode's for you.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I'm Jordan Elwanger. I'm a player on the podcast.
Who are you playing, Jordan?
I play and voice Varg.
What does Varg sound like?
Varg sounds like Strong Bad from HomestarRunner.com.
Perfect. I said consummate V's.
Consummate! No majesty.
I got some Sean Connery vibes the last couple episodes.
Yeah,
Sean Connery?
Too. Yeah, really.
Varg's getting a little wise out
there. He's like, yeah.
You're maturing.
Varg's growing.
He's got some caviar dreams, that Varg.
An S still a 4-H.
He's still a relatively young Kolo.
Yeah. Who's next? I'm looking around the room. Yes, we are all sitting in the same room.
Yes, we are.
I'm Brittany Hoffman.
There
hello.
She is.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, how you doing?
I play Luton and her animal companion, Kal-El. And my favorite spell is Coral Scourge.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's all of our
which
favorite
has been
spells.
Used.
I'm trying to use it as much as possible.
I can't really wrap my head around how well it's been used.
Yeah.
There may not be another recorded instance of Coral Scourge being used as well.
Scourge?
Scourge.
We call it Scourge. Coral Scourge.
It's Scourge.
It's definitely Coral.
Coral Scourge.
Who else is talking? I hear voices going around the table.
I'm Greg Santee, and I play the fuzzy, lovable Darnayru, or Darnayru.
Darnayru.
Hey, you know, if you're an announcer and you only have a moment,
this is what comes out.
This is what happens. Yeah.
Hi, everyone out there. My name is Coral Scourge. Also known as Duval Gibson, and I play Kairos.
Say hi, Kairos.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dice of Thunder.
All right, that's enough. Well, like I said earlier, if you're listening to us for the first time, now you can put some names to some names.
Yeah.
And if you want to put some faces to those names, go to diceofthunder.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our website.
Yeah.
We got every episode up there every week. And then we also have a gallery of artwork where you can see all of these characters and a gallery of our faces with a little bio so you can get to know us.
Go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button.
Sure.
Crush the like button. Hit the notification bell.
Smash the notification bell. Or just subscribe to us on your favorite pod player. That's really the best thing. And while you're at it, leave us a 5-star review.
Yes, please.
Yeah. That allows the pod to be shared to everyone that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Are we a 5-star podcast right now?
Oh, you know what? I haven't looked at the Spotify rate. Let me look. It might be down to 4.6.
We're also one of the top.
We are 5.
15 podcasts.
We're
5 stars.
Yep.
How many ratings?
5.
35.
35.
Wow.
All
right. Hey.
That's pretty good. I'm happy about that. Thank you, Thunder Buddies.
For those of you who don't know, Spotify has a comment option. If you go to the episode, you can leave us a comment or ask a question.
Yes. I need to look at those because
I didn't know that was even an option
either.
Yeah, I left a comment on like one of our first episodes and never heard back.
I have to.
Why didn't you respond
to
yourself?
I have to approve them all in order for them to show up, and I don't look at that at all. Mm. So it's literally like once every 3 months I'll go in there just to do some maintenance, and I'll be like, oh, there's 15 people who have left comments.
Wow,
so
you're saying do your job.
So you're saying you did see my comment, but you chose
I definitely
not
deleted it.
Okay.
Yeah. If there was anything that said Elwanger anything at all, delete.
Yeah, I get that.
He doesn't need to leave comments. He's on the show.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
That's why I said, why didn't you respond to yourself?
I don't
shame
have access
on yourself.
I don't have the admin.
Doesn't have access. Admin privileges.
Yeah.
Now let's get into.
Sorry, get into it.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, there literally is a Q&A section under every episode.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's a user, J2S, and I'm pretty sure I know who that is.
That's probably my son.
Yeah, maybe. I thought it was your wife. J.S. No, she don't leave.
That would be epic.
No, I thought she was our best fan.
For real, though, she actually started listening to the show, and she's like been trying to...
Wow.
She's starting in the beginning, but she's working her way through the episodes.
As you should.
Well, when we started this whole thing, before it was even shown, it was just an idea. My wife was like, how do I know you're not going to go on there and say something stupid? And I was like, I guess you'll have to be on the show.
Yeah.
There
That's
we
not
go.
At all what happened.
Now she's here to police me.
And you still
and
say
yet,
and laugh when you say stupid things.
All the time.
And yet dumb crap makes it through
every week.
This is so great.
Well, let's get everybody caught up, shall we?
Yeah.
I want to start with one thing. A thank you from all of us that I think you will all individually want to do as well. To the one and the only, Scott D. Young.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, Scotty.
Scotty D. Who is also a Thunder Buddy now, has been tracking along with the story. But last week, we finished our time with Scott D. Young.
Oh, man.
This is sad.
It is sad. We didn't really talk about it too much in the moment because you guys were too busy letting the...
My agent told me you wouldn't talk about that.
Listen back. Yeah. If this is your first time listening, this next episode, you're going to be like, who are these incompetent losers?
Oh my lord.
At least that's how I felt.
Merciful. So. Merciful and slow to angered.
But but we have Scotty D to thank for all of this awesome plot.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to go through, I got a little summary here of all of our greatest hits over the last, 40 weeks.
40, wow.
43.
That's almost a year. Guys.
Episodes. Season 2 was a big one.
That's what's blowing my mind is like I forgot how much happened in this second book.
Well, it started with the trip to the asynchronous archives.
No. Yeah. No, we can move on.
The library.
You know what's funny about that is that it started and ended season 2 with epic failure.
This is the way.
This is
how we work.
I'm not trying to rub it in. The dice made all these choices. All the missed attacks and missed checks are all randomly generated live here in the studio.
You can't win them all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it has made for some compelling storytelling because after not getting through the library very well, you go to Kosawana's workshop, right? Mm-hmm. You meet the greatest NPC of all time, Sweep Up.
Gross. Yeah.
Pretty high up there.
Yeah. Gross.
On the top, right?
I love Sweep Up.
On the top of the bottom.
Duval's personal favorite.
Can't
Sweep Up.
Only under Gomac. If you ask me.
Yeah, well, Gomac
just has a special place in my heart.
Because he can spell.
Yeah,
I can't. He is a speller.
Sweep Up can only sweep up.
That's right.
Well, if you listen, he can do
a little. Although now. Yeah, like I was going to say, I feel now.
Sweep Up has been unlocked. His potential.
He's basically Victor Wembanyama now.
Sweep Up's going to be Alkenstar's IG-88.
Right. Sacrifice himself to save the group. Oh, spoilers.
That's the skinny-head one, I remember.
Oh,
IG-88 was the same type of droid, but he was like a bounty hunter.
Just Star Wars dork shamed me so hard.
That's not the right nomenclature for that one.
I'm going to delete every episode of this. So I clearly have no nerd cred. It comes and goes.
Like poop.
Yeah.
Wait. I know poop goes.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Because you eat food.
We're only 10 minutes into
Boom.
This.
Yeah.
We can't be throwing down poop jokes.
We're meeting new people. We need to let them know. There's
what they're in for.
They need to know what's coming.
The brow is low.
Listen, new listeners, expect poop.
Everybody poops, man.
Yeah.
You're making it sound way worse than it actually is, though. We are not that bad, you guys.
How
All
low?
You new listeners, we are not that bad.
How low is the brow? That's how low it is.
That was great.
That rumbled my guts right there.
That's Jeff from Big Campaign.
Yeah. No, it needs to be lower.
Hey, Jeff.
To get back on the Sweep Up thing, though, I am really curious, like, how, obviously we don't know because we're going along the ride as players, just as you guys are as listeners, but to see, like, is this sweep up thing going to come back? Like, what does it mean for his future? And no, for real, because like he's now...
He's sentient.
Yeah.
Like he has his own thoughts about things.
You're
he
welcome,
doesn't want to sweep up anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just really curious how that's going to end up playing out, if it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I think we experienced he had some teenage angst, so it's probably not going to go well.
Yeah. Well, is he going to grow, though?
I was channeling, like, Groot from the Avengers, you know, when he's got the, like, video game where he's playing, you know, and he's got that sass.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's a good second.
No, it did, because I was afraid, because you're very large. And you, when you get loud, I pee a little.
Oh my
Jordan
gosh.
Jordan is as tall as I am when he's sitting down when I'm standing up.
Yeah.
Six, what are you, 6'9"?
6'7".
Yeah,
it's funny, like we've got two characters in the podcast here, Luton and Varg, that are not really that much of a stretch from their from their players. Neither is Greg.
What are you trying to say? Listen, I'm 5'4" and a half. Okay.
Don't forget the half.
Luton's only 18 inches tall, but that does, I think, make you legally the shortest person in the podcast.
Huh. And Greg is very cat-like.
Extremely.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean?
You know,
nimble.
Cat naps and coughing up fur balls.
And if you sass him, he'll give you the skippity paps.
Yeah, the skippity paps. Got those on the lock.
So in Kosawana's workshop, because I can stay on task, I think, you find this weird clock thing, and I'm glad you found it, because that was the clue that you would have found in the asynchronous archives. You take it back to Athenth Yanalir.
What?
The High Clock Mother.
Athenth.
Bless you.
Listen, I've been practicing these names for a year now. I got them on lock. Athenth Yanalir. Although there was some debate on whether or not it was a tenth because of the whole number numerology tie-in math thing. Anyway, she gives you a little scrap of paper that was inside this clock that leads you out in the middle of the Spell-Scar Desert, and you go on a quest. And you leave the city of Alkenstar for the first time since we started the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in like episode 50 territory, right? What an incredible time. What were some of your guys? You meet the captain, Fira Winslow, of the Second Kiss, and you get on an airship.
Yeah.
And y'all just yeet out into the desert.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy finding out that she was the captain of the Harpy's Kiss that crashed earlier too. So these tie-ins already, that was, I'm like a big nostalgia guy, so when you like tie in stuff like that, I get all giddy about the past. So but us going out into the desert, for me it was like, okay, I felt like there was this weird sense of safety we had in the city that was 100% gone.
Totally gone.
I was like, we're going now into we can't just go to the store, and this sounds kind of weird, I'll make it make sense, we can't just go to the store and buy something we want to, right? After an encounter, we could say we can spend our gold and go shopping for new weapons.
Right.
You can't do that in the middle of the desert.
No.
You're literally just off.
Hauling
no
a sack of loot around behind you like some sort of deranged Santa Claus desert hobo.
Yes.
I mean, I was fully expecting like Tremors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Sandworms.
Scotty,
that's what I was.
You missed out on some sandworm action.
I was hoping for Butt Blasters and Kevin Bacon, but didn't get that.
I'm so lost.
It's a Tremors thing.
Tremors.
Is it butt blasters?
I don't know what is, bro.
It's ASS blasters.
Yeah, but what?
Oh, yeah. It's bazooka?
It's an evolved form of the worm, and they shoot up into the air.
What? Which movie was that in? Not the first one.
I think it's Tremors 2.
Isn't there like six?
Yeah.
There's
seven now.
Seven?
There's seven now, yeah.
But Kevin Bacon's the best one.
It is.
Yeah, of course.
Going back to the Spell-Scar Desert, I got two words for you.
Bring them.
Blimpskin.
Yeah.
Okay. Blimpskin.
I thought we were going to die in the air.
Yeah, that was scary.
There were a couple of times where there was almost some character falling to their death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, looting on the edge. Holding on to the edge.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Being pushed back by that aura.
How intense
was
that for you? Because it was Kal-El that was pushing you off because
of
the storm.
I was displeased.
But then, like, Varg is hanging off the side, which is a choice he made. That made it all better.
Mission Blimpossible.
So but it worked out, so it was actually amazing.
And before there was a Varg, there was a Balnor. We don't even talk about that guy.
Yeah, he was season one. I don't even
know. Oh, we're only doing one. Okay, new people, now you got to go to season one.
Well,
find out
back
what
and listen to
is.
Season Easter two, egg. Episode 0 bonus content.
There you go. Look at you, Scott.
We've already done this once.
He figured it out.
What else did you guys like about that, the whole blimp ride? I mean, it was a wild time being up in an airship. I loved GMing it. The maps were great.
I love that we got to do that interrogation
of Lucky Lynx.
Undercover. Yeah. Because Lucky seemed like such a cool guy. And then we find out.
It turned out.
Because he made a mean cocktail. Cool.
He did. The third kiss.
Yeah, that's right. The third smooch.
The third smooch.
Yeah.
And it turned out the whole time he was working for Mugley.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys sent him on a wild goose chase out into the...
Geb?
Yeah, Mechatar or something like that. You sent him down to some other city. Or at least that was the information he sent back to Mugland.
Right.
With Barb's toe?
I was going to say, with Barb's toe cut off as collateral.
Right.
Yeah.
So good.
So Varg has a mechanical pinky toe.
Yep.
This is all canon.
Yep.
I had so much fun GMing all of that. I mean, it's fun when you guys bring that kind of improvisation and just surprise content that we get to like canonize and build off of. It's one of the things that makes Pathfinder great and what makes tabletop role-playing games great.
Mm-hmm.
The encounters that we had while we were on the blimp, I thought were super fun. And the fact that there was a little bit of element of randomness to it.
The chimeric manticore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, with the...
We had to roll to
figure
out what...
Bullet blisters or whatever they were?
Bullet blisters. Oh, gross.
Yeah, that was the... I can't remember what those things are called.
Oh, that wasn't the manticore. That was
it was the three marauders that attacked you guys.
But all of those, just the fact that we're flying through the sky and then being attacked by things and having to figure out where they're attacking from and the whole, like...
And they're damaging the blimp.
Yeah. And the big crossbows we had
to try to use.
We didn't use them great, but... That was a whole cool element that was there.
Would have been completely different if all of you stayed together on the roof.
Yeah.
But the first thing that they did, split the party. And then they did it again.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
What about our friends Nobi and Gebbin?
Nobi and Gebbin.
Nobi and Gebbin. You remember their names.
I hate them.
How could you possibly?
They're annoying. I always remember my enemies.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Because I had all the things that... they were supposed to say, and Jordan had nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And he was the voice of the other goblin.
I thought it was you.
No,
both voices.
It was just making it up the whole time.
It was great character acting.
And had no idea what he was supposed to be talking about. It was maybe the most fun I've ever had as a GM.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Pinging off of that. And there's been a lot of those moments. Then you guys land.
Mm.
You land in the desert about as close as you can while the blimp is sort of going down, but not really. You get a little bit closer than you could have had you failed and had damage to the blimp. You land further away.
Mm.
So there's some mechanical things in there you guys all got right, which I thought was kind of cool.
Got lucky.
Yeah, so happy to reward you with a short trek across the desert.
Hero points?
I think there might have been one or two.
Hero points?
Oh, I thought you meant.
Given away then.
Right now.
No, now you have to lose one. New season 3 rule.
And we met I.
You met I. Yep.
Yeah.
We did meet
the
I.
The crazy,
weird creature.
That was the monster created by a mana storm.
What was weird about that whole encounter is not knowing if it was good or bad, because it was so innocent at first.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it turned into like, oh, this isn't good. He wants to eat us. Got
yeah,
it.
I armed him, and then
that was not good.
I thought, what a wild character! The way that it was written is—it's written intentionally to, this is all Scotty D, to give you that false sense of security.
Yeah.
When you interact with this thing at first, it is just trying to gain some information from you, and then a point comes where it decides, I think I'll just eat you instead.
Yeah,
and it literally just. Because it doesn't know any better,
decides
that moving things are usually pretty tasty, so I'm just going to eat these moving things.
Because
it's
so
simple. And
trade.
Yeah. Trade. Yeah. That was fun to voice that character, too. And then you go and you meet some Nyctera, and you save them, and you get some sweet loot.
I loved that.
Yeah. That was a lot of grieve me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love that there was like a way to, I don't know, it felt like, you know, when you're wandering through the, not us, when there's venturing parties wandering through the forest and you come across these small villages and you're like, oh, we're literally wandering adventurers who can be heroes. And so that's what we got to experience just out in the desert with these little helpless creatures.
I think it's a good book to start at if you were wanting to play Pathfinder, but you want to skip the low levels. This is a good adventure path where you could technically start out at level 4 and jump into a story without having to do too much back matter, you know, establishing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way it kicks off is, you know, getting through all the library stuff to get information is a good way to get you established really quick on where are we at, what's going on in the world, and then you immediately get into some really creative, interesting situations. So it's fun right away.
And it tied up a lot of the stuff that was set up in the first book. Vanessa Hoskins did a great job setting the tone for what Alkenstar is supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
Scott D. Young takes that tone, but then moves it outside of the city. And so you still have that clockworky, you're on an airship, right, that's made out of gear work. You're going to a temple of Bri, who is the goddess of technology and invention, but it's out in the middle of a desert that's mutated by mana storms. So you get that taste of how serious the mana wastes are.
Yeah.
And what their, you know, impact is in the region. I mean, I'm being a little geopolitical here with Galarian, but but the fact is, you know, this war between Nex and Geb is sort of looming constantly in the far background of this adventure path.
Yeah.
Right? And you get to see a little bit of how the mana waste plays into that war with this strange no magic zone that exists and how these storms can impact spell casting.
Yeah.
And then you come to the camping scene outside the Cradle of Quartz. You're at the dungeon.
It was so camping.
You defeated the Clockwork Sphinx.
That was crazy.
Which was a fun fight.
With the murder chickens?
Yeah. That wasn't a fun fight. That was a stressful fight.
The murder chickens.
You guys decide to camp because you're gassed.
Yeah.
You've exhausted all your spells. And you get inside the Cradle of Quartz for the first time. You go and you are confronted with Julius Closet Time.
Julius.
Right? You have this moment where this creature appears. It zaps all of you with this horrifying mental spell.
Yeah.
And then everybody has a vision. Mm-hmm. Right? And you get taken on this like wild, nightmarish twist of your own memories.
He like knocks us out in that room.
Yeah, knocked you out in that room.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Varg, Luton, and Darnayru all have twisted versions of their memories happen, but then Kairos has like a chat with his father.
Yeah.
In the middle. It's so
allegedly.
What's that all about? You know?
Allegedly.
That was a lot of fun. I mean,
yeah, super fun
creating all those scenarios and writing them all and then, you know, getting to play them out with you guys.
And that, like the Kairos thing said, well, his dad's on Jamaray.
Jalmaray.
I can't read it from here. I'm looking at the map.
It's the island east of the Mana Wastes on the map of Galarian there.
Gosh, I want to go that. Let's go to that island real quick.
Let's do it.
There's a potential side quest on the island of Jalmaray.
Yeah, that was wild, though, to get to like see these parts of our history being distorted and just being able to find out more about our characters, obviously, but then how this Julius Closet Time might have been the scariest thing I think we fought the whole book, too. That's what I think.
Definitely. It was hard to figure out what it was going to do to us and how.
It was hard to hit the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you couldn't hit it. You didn't know what it was, like, just like you're saying, didn't know what it was going to do. Mental stuff was not usable against it because it was, and this aura was terrifying. It was just, everything about it was difficult and scary.
And we killed it.
And we killed it, barely.
Because of Coral Scourge.
Yes.
Coral Scourge.
I mean, I'm failing that save because what I failed was a knowledge check to determine what it was that I was being hit by as a monster. So I was playing the game from the perspective of a player who needs to pass a knowledge check to be able to identify a spell. I literally rolled a natural 2 on that knowledge check. I all but critically failed it. So I had no idea what the spell effects were, and so therefore acted defensively, and he has a built-in invisibility, and as soon as he did that, boom, gets...
Coraled,
right. It was clumsy 4, and when that happens under the effects of that spell, you become petrified for 1 minute. So it was literally there the whole time, petrified for 1 minute.
Yeah.
You guys could have killed it. It would not have been able to fight back.
Yeah.
But the like instinctual response was run away. Mm-hmm. And you ran down to the Nyctera cave and put on some band-aids and then knuckled up. Like, let's go back in there and finish the job. You have to fight him at the same time you fight Droxolos. Remember, Droxalos took control of Varric's mind and made him attack Darnayru.
I remember that.
Imagine that happening over and over and over again as you're trying to fight the Claws of Time.
Yeah.
That's what that whole setup is supposed to be, but one clever use of a spell, one, you know, one critically failed dice roll, and that's all it takes to turn the tide. Then you meet Olam and Kosawana.
Finally, after seeking him forever.
After what was like 30 episodes of looking for him. Mm-hmm. You guys head back to Alkenstar. But before we go back to Alkenstar, there's one thing I do want to touch on. And it was the disease. Another clever use of a spell. I don't think Varric passes that disease check because it advances, right? Goes into stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. He critically failed
epoxy?
It. Yeah, the black hypoxia.
Yeah.
He critically failed it, so he was stage 2. You fail two more times. Stage 4's condition, death, no saves. Done.
Wow.
Your character's done. That's two dice rolls away from permanent character death.
Right.
Which, you know, Duval busts out, oh, I have treat disease. Just flipping through his spell book.
He's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what? On page 86 here, it says I can get rid of that.
Boom.
It's so awesome.
And we got to try our first counteract checks and get into a deep mechanic and crunch on some crunch. And anyway.
LeBron James.
I feel like there's been more exciting almost deaths for Varg than any other player. All of the rest of us have like just gone down and been in the dying track a little bit. Varg's had a lot of new death. But they're like, they're exciting things like hanging off a blimp or catching black epoxy or hypoxia.
With Varg being a barbarian, I play him like a barbarian. So he's going to be up in people's grills all the time.
Jumping off blimps.
And Varg is, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, Varg is only 19. He's a young Kolo.
He's so fired up.
He's got a lot to prove.
He's kind of reckless.
Still got Kolo milk behind his ears.
The real milk drinker.
Oh, no. You get back on the blimp after escaping with Kosawana. You get back to Alkenstar. You get back home. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like a homecoming.
It felt like home.
With Optimus sweep up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some follow by.
Sweep up prime.
Yeah. You roll up. That was the funniest part of me of season 2. 3.
I'd try.
2.
3.
2. Right.
And you go to the Steaming Kingdom.
Steamy.
You meet Viviel Ramsley.
Gross.
Yep.
Ramsley.
And you find out that you have gained some notoriety in your absence, which I thought was a lot of fun. I mean, like, that was something that I felt like we should add to enrich a little bit of your guys' presence in the city, like telling the story of the Shumfollow Five in the city of Alkenstar and how the effects of time change a setting. And so we get the
Glass Leaf Blaster.
Yeah, and the Shumfollow Punks.
Yeah.
And that's your GM having a good time, and I'm just glad that we... You know, we had a chance to establish with that character earlier, like, how is this character interact with you guys? And he had sort of like a respect originally.
Right.
He didn't want to fight you right away. He's like, I challenge you to a duel, you know, and he wanted you to fight his snake. And when you beat the snake, he honored his terms. And the thieves and gangs and killers at Alkenstar. Yeah.
Pet snake bitey.
All of those gangs seem to be operating on a code, right?
Right.
They all seem to be rather honest. So,
why is there no Shum Follow Five Bard song yet? Like, why is that not a thing?
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to actually say about the Shum Follow like punks and everything. This goes back to season one from something that was just a moment that happened in the show and in the story, where like the Shum Follow Five was born out of one of the funniest circumstances, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sneaking by. Like, we just happened to roll well, and it just, we got to sneak by and skip an encounter.
Putting the fun in fungus.
A mushroom monster
in
or whatever.
Fungus.
It was a fungus lushy.
Yeah.
Shumfallow that,
Yeah.
So the fact that is the birth of the Shumfallow Five, and to be able to carry this through the whole story, I think that's, it makes it so much cooler than saying, this is our gang name, and we just get to, like, go forward with it. No, something happened that made us the Shumfollow Five.
Maybe it becomes official Paizo canon. And Shumfollow, because maybe. He wasn't destroyed, him and his spawn,
yes,
like, take over the mana wastes.
The Legion.
It makes them even more powerful, and they take over Alkenstar and the next.
Hey, man. Who knows?
I like it.
With mana storms happening all the time, who knows?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Right, yeah. Paizo. Get a bard going. Get the official, to write it.
Official cult of Shrimfall.
I like your guys' big dreams. They make me smile.
But I do like huge dreams. Biggest ever. Glaz now is showing that respect continues from our encounter with him.
Yeah.
Is now continuing into something else. It's just cool.
He's a fun character.
Oh yeah.
When do you get to goof around with a monkey goblin?
Right.
You know?
Most Wednesdays, but
Monkey Goblin Wednesdays. Then we get to the Gilded Halls.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a bone to pick with you, Greg, specifically.
Yeah, bring it on,
Greg. but probably just this half, the Duval-Greg half of my podcast.
The way the studio's built up is Duval and Greg are on one side of the table.
So if you listen back to that episode, the first Gilded Halls episode, where Varg sets off a booby trap that explodes a door
right in the face.
Your GM accidentally opened that door, which revealed the walls and the lighting and the scenery behind it. Okay? Then you go around a corner and you get in a fight and you keep adventuring through, but you walk past and straight up ignore another door and decide to go through the south. And I was trying to figure out why. Like, why would they walk past the door completely and ignore?
Didn't we roll?
We totally rolled, I said the barbarian chooses.
You rolled the first time. You did not roll the second time. You guys decided to go south, and there was a lot of prompting. And I looked back, like I go to roll 20 as a player, and I looked, and I could see that the vision of that room was revealed to you guys. And it's just a wall. It's like a brick wall. It doesn't exist. And so if you were to
if you were
to go through that door that you guys just literally skipped, it would have been another trap.
No, this is what
I
remember.
You didn't notice it because you failed your perception checks.
This is what I remember. Duval clicked on a door
that
was available to click on, and it opened it and showed us what was in it.
Yeah.
And it was an open room. That's what I do remember.
Hmm.
And I don't know how. I was like, how'd you do that?
How'd you do that?
And then he starts walking
because it was unlocked.
And you're like, Duval, what are you doing in there?
And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, that's what that was?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just clicking on stuff.
And I was like, that wasn't me.
I couldn't see any of this because I was in Game Master mode.
Listen, he came into our bedroom last night. I'm trying to relax, and he was trying to interrogate me about this. Did you guys know?
First 48.
I knew that I... Here's my general rule of thumb.
Call me Eddie Murphy. You can be Nick Nolte.
Let's do that.
48 hours.
Great talking about that. I was talking about the A&E show, but whatever.
Here's my general rule of thumb for exploration. If I'm not the one who's willing to walk first through a doorway, I'm not the one who gets to choose which way to go.
That's funny.
So I'll
you
say
a lot of input.
No, it sounds like where do we think we go? I say I think we should go south, but it's up to you.
Wait, hold on. A second.
I didn't even notice. So if that answers your question, I don't think you believe me. But
I'm going to decide to believe you guys.
Hold on a second, counselor. So what you're saying?
Despite
what
the evidence.
So you went back and listened to the show. You went back and watched the dice rolls of roll 20.
He's real salty because he didn't get to use his trap. That's what the real issue is.
Don't try to trap the Shunfall of Five, man. You better Google us.
Because I was having a little bit of guilt about the way the things ended with Muglin getting away. I was like, oh, they skipped all my traps because I make a little mistake, so I don't feel bad anymore.
Hey, the completionist in me wanted to open all the doors.
I'm good on that.
Even if there was a trap, I want to see everything.
Not me.
I'm deciding to believe you guys out of love.
Your eyes are saying something totally different.
But I said it on the podcast, and it is in the, you know, people in Sweden are hearing this right now, and they're
it's in the asynchronous archives if you roll well enough to read it.
So anyway, then the fight happens. The duel of a century happens.
Before that happens, we open a door and see an army behind it.
Yeah, seven combatants. It was so great. I love that moment.
It was terrifying.
It was not.
And then you get a one-on-one, Sharkosa versus Varg.
Yeah.
For losers pink slipping their weapon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was having all the family. I was having all the Fast and Furious feels.
Yeah. We've got two good fighters tonight in this corner, standing in a puddle of piss with a snot bubble in his nose. Varg!
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to hear your best Vin Diesel.
This is my best Vin Diesel.
That is
it's just on and all.
Okay.
All right. Family.
Nah.
Ohana.
You got to work on that.
What's a Vin Diesel?
Oh, yeah.
Muglin gets away.
Okay, how did that happen?
Okay.
How does that happen?
Because he ran off, and my first instinct was, we got to catch him. Yep. And then As far as I know, everyone else had that same feeling. We gotta catch this guy. Don't put all this on me.
I'm not. I'm saying eventually, though. Eventually, we start swinging at him. But right. Still, it takes two full actions, and I was hasted. Right. So I was using three actions to catch up and take one action against him.
Dude, I'm shooting arrows at him, and he's doing the whole Matrix.
He did the Matrix. So it was just like, it was really difficult with him just full on sprinting away, which I can't believe a halfling can go that fast.
I want to read a couple things for you.
Long torso.
Throw those shoulders.
Looks like Attack on Titan over here.
If he's reduced to fewer than 40 hit points, he drops his pistol and surrenders, hoping to strike a deal with the party.
Don't tell us
this, man. You are a bad person.
40. But he did not get below 40
hit
points.
Why would you tell us this? So even
when we got him stopped in the blacksmith room, we were all trying to end him.
We were rolling so poorly.
Mugland ended with 56 hit points when he made his way off the edge of the map. Any 16. Single hit probably would have done it. Would have gotten him below 40.
Any non-missable.
Not today, see?
We didn't know that, so we were trying to, use...
But that's why it's fun.
Tie him up and, take him
alive.
But
at the end, we were just trying to end him. And we still couldn't hit him.
If I hadn't missed that last Megaton strike, he would have been...
That would have been it.
Yep.
He would have given up.
That makes me so mad.
It's all your fault.
Why'd you tell us that?
Because it made you so mad. But wait, there's more.
Great. Welcome to the Dice of Thunder, y'all.
Muglin's base speed.
Yeah, he does.
I just want to get it all out there. Muglin's base speed, 25 feet.
Uh-huh. No way.
Was moving 75 when he had all three actions.
Was he hasted?
Nope, wasn't hasted. He was doing things where he would move twice and shoot.
So
then
if,
he'd move
let's
and
just
reload
say,
and
let's
shoot.
Let's say a normal character is chasing him then.
Yeah.
We have to do all the same movement just to catch up to him. And if he does, three move actions, you just caught him, and then nothing happens.
Yeah,
you
and
keep
that's
running.
What happened.
So,
and then you get Duval's character, right? Kairos' speed is a little bit low because he's got the breastplate on, so he's moving at 20 feet instead of 25. So, over three rounds, that's 30 feet lost to try to get into bow range. But that doesn't matter because you're underground in some freaking maze. You go 10 feet and you're around a corner. You can't even shoot him.
Right.
It's almost like it was planned out that way.
Yeah. I do love that we got him locked in one area and he had to come back. I thought that was where we were going to stop him. But
yeah.
Oh, when he went to the little
he got locked
on the floor.
By the poop chute?
Yeah. I was like, this is Sparta.
Yeah, I was like, kick him down the poop chute. Yeah.
Remember when poop got smeared on your face?
I remember that. Yeah.
Sudoku got you.
Remember?
That was a recent memory. Slippery dodge. If Mugland is hit by a strike, but wouldn't be hit if he had +2 to his AC, he gains +2 to his AC against the triggering attack, and it misses.
What a felonious knave.
Yeah, what a scamp.
You know what's ridiculous about that? Just make his AC 2 higher. That's effectively what you're doing.
Yeah, but it's a reaction, so you can only do it once per round.
Oh, that was a reaction?
Yeah. So he has asthma, and he takes some Primatine Mist, and he's like, you didn't get me today! Yeah.
Slippery! And then he also had something that I didn't get to use, which was Exploit Blunder, another reaction. If you critically fail against him, he gets a free shot against you. And you're flat-footed to it. So it's extra scary. Yeah, he had cane he had was also a pistol, which I didn't even get to use.
Which was somehow, when he was tied up somewhere, this is a family show, so
I know where it is.
Think about where that cane was.
I might have forgot to say that he got it from Drella because she gave him the gun and the cane. But
it was all within reason.
I know I didn't say the cane, but whatever.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, caster was stuck in the other room because if hydraulic push had worked, I would have just followed you guys out. But it missed and it made me mad. So then I was chasing Drella.
Right.
I wanted revenge on Drella.
But that's still good though because Drella would have caused problems if we got. If we're being attacked from both sides.
Yeah, but I didn't even get Drella. It ended up being Sharkosa.
Which I should not have. Sharkosa doesn't care in the way that it's written. I boofed that. It mattered to me that Drella betrayed Sharkosa. And I felt like Sharkosa would want to get revenge.
Yeah. It makes sense to me.
So I just kind of instinctively did that. And then I read back through the encounter afterwards. And I was like, oh, oops.
Oh, so she really wouldn't care that second in charge or third in charge.
Yeah. Just like, oh, I guess she made a deal on her own. Kind of like, she's not betraying me, she's betraying you. I don't care if she betrays you.
Interesting.
Because Sharkosa's deal was done, you know? That's how it's written. Once she gets paid, or once whatever it's settled is settled, then she's happy.
But I was also thinking that if I help Sharkosa, maybe that, you know, garner some favor with her or whatever. That was the thought process.
I love it.
Not that I can move very fast anyways and help you guys.
I mean, you guys should always act somebody. On
this. Sharkosa and Hansen both, like, showed honor throughout the whole fight.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that made me respect those two characters. And so it made sense for them to react the way they did with Drella. And it made sense for Luton to want to stick around and help them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it sucks that Luton is so slow. And I can't wait for you to be able to fly.
Me too.
It's coming. Magic wings. Yeah. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
You know, I do have one regret from that fight is that I didn't establish the rules just a little bit better. Because in my head, I was thinking to put a restriction on the other people in the room that if you do anything at all offensively or you cast any spells, that's what I should have said, then that breaks the terms of the duel. And I didn't do that.
I think you said that.
No,
you?
I didn't. It was only offensive action is what I said. And I didn't add the piece about casting any spells because
I did ask about casting a spell.
Yeah. And I, because there was a spell that you were going to cast that would have been offensive.
Yes.
And I said, if you do that, it will violate the terms of the duel. But then when Duval, when Kairos, in another room, surrounded by three guys, pops a shield up. And I was like, oh, that's not an offensive spell. And so I have to guide myself by my own terms that I set. I think you knew that maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I was looking at those dudes like, if they start something, it's going down.
Yeah. And,
shield up.
And no one at all listening to this, if you've ever heard our show before, would ever think that Duval is like a legalistic arguer at all.
Amen.
He said sarcastically.
I just matched the energy, baby.
I didn't know with it being in another room, if he had any clue, like, Sharkosa wouldn't have known he put up a shield.
The door was open, and you have a verbal component with that spell. You could definitely hear it. It's 20 feet away.
A duel that, like, there's, like, Vark snotting on everything.
Spirits, protect me!
From behind you, like, what? Like, that would have freaked me out if I was fighting a Colo. You know? I don't know. The three guards that were there to keep watch probably should have did something. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
They should have lit the fuse.
But I was wearing that helmet.
That would have done, 2d6 damage? They had 75 hit points. You would have been so mad. So mad.
Somebody told me not to set it off because I was like, should I?
Greg is smart.
Don't set it off.
I'm not supposed to tell you how to play your character.
Yeah. They had 75 hit points. You would have hurt them. Yeah, each.
Dang.
You would not have been able to do 225 hit points in damage with that helmet. It's a cool helmet, though.
Cool helmet. I wanted to use it.
12. Maybe 24 on a crit.
Each person? Each character? Yeah, that would have been a bad day for me.
Because then they all would have shot you.
They would have got mollywopped.
By yourself. That would have been rough.
Well, that about does it for the wrap-up.
Oh, man.
We're caught up.
All of that. Scotty D, thank you so much.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you.
Good job, Scotty, man.
Thank you, Vanessa,
work.
For all the stuff that
thank you for book one.
Yeah, the groundwork that was laid that has gotten us here.
Set it off.
And now we move on to book three.
Book three.
Written by Cole Kronwitter.
Cole!
What a great name. Hey, I went to high school with that person.
Great name. Yeah.
Of the West Virginia Kronwitters?
Cole Kronwitter was in second period biology.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, I used to put it on my sandwiches. It's delicious.
I will say this. I've read through book three.
Of course. Already cheating.
I'm going to say one thing.
Yeah.
The tone
is
much darker.
Hey.
Brittany and I were looking at the wallpaper for book three on Roll20.
Much darker.
And
describe it for Gil.
Which looks Northern very Green. Joyous. Yeah. This.
So there is on the front cover, it looks like who I assume is Sharkosa?
Nope.
Maybe? No. That looks Sharkosa. Like Loveless to me.
That is Angelique Loveless.
That's Loveless?
She's an elf.
She is so cool looking.
She is half elf.
Half elf.
Yep. Half elf.
She has a rifle in one hand, a six shooter in the other hand, long dark hair, and a bandolier.
And heterochromia. And then
behind her are two other, one looks like an elf, the other one I can't tell.
Those are iconics. So you have the iconic thief Maricel on the right, and the iconic sorcerer Sayoni on the left.
Okay. And they are fighting what looks to be zombies.
Undead.
Yeah.
It looks like undead.
With smoke coming out of their faces.
And where are they fighting them?
They are fighting in some kind of
Temple
clockwork.
Of Brieg?
Well, it looks like a clockwork something. for sure.
It could be
some massive clockwork factory looking gear work plant thing. Undead creatures.
Yeah.
In Alkenstar?
That is what is happening.
I don't
happening.
Think it is in Alkenstar.
No, I think it's in...
is it somewhere else?
Geb?
I think it's
is it in Geb?
Nex. I think it's in Nex.
Nex is... There better not be any undead in Nex.
Sorry, Geb.
Geb's the southern Someone's going to get a real stern talking to.
Geb. That's a Pathfinder That's the southern joke. One. Yeah.
She's got one red eye, one blue.
Yeah.
Okay. Red versus blue.
Angelique Loveless. She looks pretty tough, doesn't she? I like her.
I like her, too.
I wonder if you guys are going to let her get away.
No.
Oh, shut your mouth.
If I can give you one,
listen,
if I can give you one
piece
of advice,
Muglin's not
going to
get away either. We'll find Muglin.
Muglin's gone. Muglin lives in Varisia now.
No.
He's got a family already.
No, we'll find him. We'll find him.
He's on his way to the shackles to be
a
hunting
pirate. He's temporarily free.
He's too greedy.
And his time
to
is short.
His time is short.
He's too proud.
One piece of advice I'm going to give you as your GM going into book three: don't let Loveless get away. Don't even try. Don't try to capture her. She's going to try to smoke you guys. That is the BBEG right there.
Can Varg try to woo her?
The big bet. See, he's already got a bad idea.
Listen, she's cute.
Look at her.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
Varg's totally
she's
into
BA.
That.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely.
Oh.
She got a cool lovely list.
Love.
No, but she is loveless.
She
Varg.
Has a cool red cape on, by the way.
Yeah, she does.
She has a cool red cape. And
no
like
capes.
A bandolier full of bullets.
Yeah.
And some armor.
It's typically what
she looks cool,
are for.
You know.
But she's evil.
Could be full of grenades. Yeah,
let's go kill her.
You guys remember the very moment we showed up in Alkenstar?
Episode one style.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is who was holding us up.
Yeah, we have quite a few new
executed
charges
someone.
Since then.
Yeah.
So
executed the. Yeah, you do have a rap sheet.
Yeah, we have a long rap sheet now.
We do now, but she gave us a fake rap sheet from before.
We've added things to it.
Yes.
Well, now we're about to start the final season.
Let's do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Buckle up.
It's going to be serious. It's going to be a darker tone. Let's see where Cole takes us.
All right,
Cole.
Let's go, Cole.
Finish up the adventure. Thank you all for tuning into our bonus episode here. Hopefully it gets you caught up with what just happened over the last almost a year.
Yeah.
Three quarters.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we level up?
No.
Oh, man.
You didn't take out Muglin. You don't get a level.
Come on.
I know. Is it rude or what?
It's so rude.
We ran enough chasing him to get enough experience points.
My
legs are feeling stronger.
This isn't Oblivion. This isn't Oblivion.
Just jump until you level up.
Well, we call our fans the Thunder Buddies.
Yeah.
Or the Shum Followers.
Either one. Both are great.
We think you're Thunder Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And a Shum Follow to you.
And a Shum Follow.
And a Shum Follow to you as well.
Tune in right now.
Yeah.
For season 3, episode 75.
I'm so excited.
Of the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Let's go. Oh, nailed it.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.